This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour two, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan as we open up the 3 o'clock hour on a massive Sports Thursday. It's great to be back in the saddle with you. General at your service. Salute to you. Brought us as Draft 101 tonight. Lucius Alexander, LA Live coming up at 5:40 and G-Bag of the Day at 4:40 for you. It has moved. Woolchuck and Chia follow both in the house, your nosebleed brothers. And, of course, you can watch us at Twitch and on YouTube. Okay, welcome in, though, on your home of the still first place Texas Rangers, 2 in a row here, now 8-1 at home. Okay, so the Globe's a fortress. It's going to be an honor and a pleasure to broadcast from the home of the 2023 World Series champs tomorrow afternoon with you boys. Looking forward to getting out there.
We're going to have to fight off the Dodger crowd tomorrow. Get ready for that one.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess if it comes with a glimpse of the current champs, a chance to watch Ohtani over the weekend, this would be cool.
Well,
right?
They moved the pitching staff around. They moved it around to get
got a DeGrom day tomorrow.
Yeah, DeGrom day. Yeah, holy cow! Yeah. Evaldi's in there.
Yeah, Evo on Saturday, and Jack Leiter is at the Globe right now. He's throwing in the right outfield currently, so I think Leiter's moving in a very positive direction to be rejoining the club.
And I do believe it's Mally on Sunday.
Yes.
So I mean, hello. I mean that's amazing. Maybe it's a World Series preview. I don't know, but that's going to be really exciting. Let's get the job finished here tonight in the form of a Kamar Rocker step in the right direction. I feel like we saw him pitch well twice in spring training. Maybe once in an exhibition game or something like that. And then he's had like one good outing so far as a starter in the regular season. Yeah. But this is bad now with an ERA approaching 8. I don't know what to say about Kamar Rocker other than we know he can do it. You know, maybe at this point in his career, we need a summer to build towards it. Get this rush shaken off. Apparently didn't throw a lot in the offseason. And he just needs to re-find whatever it was he had last September, which made him look special. And now he just looks like another struggling young arm. Okay, but the Rangers are 11-7, and they'll be in California next week. Of course, that series sweep against Seattle, I was fortunate that I didn't have to broadcast on the tail end of that, you guys. How'd you take that in stride this week?
Yeah, it was a bummer, no doubt. But luckily, we were envisioning the sweep against this Halo team. So screw the Angels. And really, the bullpen's been great and the pitching's been fantastic. A lot of hits last night. They just need to work on getting runners in scoring position. But I think the story is Luke Jackson. I mean, he hasn't allowed a single run since what happened opening day.
Yeah.
So he's been locked
when
in.
Dawson
he's
made awesome. The mandate of like bullpen. Yeah.
I was calling 1-800 bullpen.
Sometimes it's all you need.
I owe this man an apology.
You just need a little general call out.
You're still on hold.
No, you did us a favor.
How's the guy with like an ERA over 6 and a whip at 1.5? Every inning dude goes out throughout his career, 1.5 guys getting on base.
Wild.
But CY corrected me. He checked me last time we chatted with him a couple of weeks ago. He was like, look, we like what this guy's done in his career. He's got an established track record. I'm like, okay, I don't see it, but.
No, you need to pick up the phone now and make a bullpen trade is what you were saying.
Well, we still do need bullpen help, but it's not because of Luke Jackson. I mean, congrats to this dude. Now, we do need to call 1-800-DH. What's going on with Jock Peterson? I saw him in spring training. You know, obviously he's had a productive career, but I thought, wow, this guy is loosey-goosey. This guy's out of shape. He's not stretching at all. He just told us he didn't even know where the weight room is. I'm like, holy cow, this is impressive that this dude's going to step into the batter's box and hit 280.
Still mash.
And hit 35 homers.
Yeah, but
have you guys seen the have you guys seen the evolution of Jock Peterson on Twitter? Have you seen the side by sides from the start of his career to now? It just goes from 2016 and then 2017. It's pictures of him at the plate,
Barry
and he
Bonds.
Just continues to balloon in every picture. Wow. Leading up to now, it makes sense that he does, you know, he doesn't know where the weight room is or whatever.
I mean, this is like young Willie Calhoun right now. Body type.
Yeah, the frumpiness is he's definitely channeling that. I mean, it is crazy to think this guy was considered a better wide receiver in high school than Devontae Adams. They played on the same team.
Wow.
And so he was at one point a very good athlete.
Check y'all's DMs here because it's a pretty funny it's a really funny visual going from 2016 Jock Peterson to all the way up to 2024 Jock Peterson and just seeing the evolution of his body.
It's dangerous to call it in baseball, even after 3 months of bad play. It's dangerous to call it. Does anybody want to call it?
No.
Jock Peterson Dunsky?
No.
He had a nice hard hit ball last night.
He did.
Which was encouraging. I think it hit 106 on the exit velo. So at least we're getting baby steps of solid at bats.
He went from like Evan Carter to AJ Pierzynski, you know? And what is this, 8 years?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope for the best there. You know, I don't know if the season can be what it is if you have, you know, the developments like that. Although the starting pitching is so good and they have three good relievers, the division is clearly down. Mm-hmm. They have time to figure it out. They have time to have something happen in the minors that could be exciting, or, you know, to find a trade that makes sense to make the team better and doesn't push them over that luxury tax threshold that old Ray's so worried about. But at either rate, Sands is coming up at 3:30. We're going to talk with Jared Sandler. He's doing a heck of a job on the radio call and on TV during the pre- and post-game show coverage. All right, Adam Silver on the Las Vegas idea. He said today the Mavericks aren't going anywhere and that team is staying in Dallas. They're looking at building a new arena in Dallas.
Hear, hear.
You know, I don't think that eliminates the possibility of it. You could tell with Adam Silver's body language during this interview, he's annoyed by how bad things have gone here with the Mavs. But he's buoyed by the fact that he says ratings picked up in the second half. He says you saw tremendous competition around the league, healthy stars, a trade that attracted a lot of attention. A bunch of things happened in the league, and that generated a lot of interest. I don't think you can rule out, you know, the Warriors getting Jimmy Butler. That was fun, and you know, but I just think the Luka trade absolutely saved him. It's the greatest luck that I think it could happen to the Lakers and the league simultaneously, and bad luck happening to your Dallas Mavericks. And you know, the frustrating thing right now is there's no relief in sight. As every time Nico does talk, it will be another opportunity. Every time Patrick Dumont talks, we'll be waiting there. Like, is this the moment where they're like, "Oops"? You know, but hasn't happened yet, and we'll stay diligent in our hope. But right now, I hate to say this, guys, but it feels like we're doomed to like having a Daniel Snyder level incompetent. You know, mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not like
not that toxic in the front office stuff. I mean, like the working conditions,
you're just losing,
just inability to put together a winning team, mm-hmm. or maybe it's Woody Johnson. Maybe that's a better comp. Mm. You know, who are the worst owners in sports? But I think that's what we have here now. And this dude, whenever stuff starts to get good, you know, I think is going to be vulnerable. And maybe he can learn from this. And in the future, we could again have confidence in him. But you know, the way they've gone about this shows no ability to really understand what it takes to win. And now we're in like a weird ego crisis thing where they're both sort of fueling them each other. They're telling each other what they want to hear while pretending that the outside is just noise and people that don't get it, you know? And as long as that billionaire has billions and as long as that GM has his ear, there's nothing that can penetrate that force field of information that they apparently put around themselves. That's what their quotes told me. is they're living in a massive sphere of denial that's impenetrable. Okay, AD with 27 as the Mavs did keep their playoff hopes alive. I'm watching this with interest as they play Sacramento tomorrow. I just want to see Memphis. Signs. Yes, my bad. No, Memphis no tomorrow, yeah, Memphis. Sacramento last night.
Yeah.
I think they can beat this team. You know, I think they match up well with the Grizzlies. If you can slow down Ja Morant, which, you know, they should be able to. They don't have any other transcendent scores. They, you know, they do have Jaren Jackson Jr., who's going to be a problem. But I like how the Mavs can slow him down. So what we want to see, guys, is evidence that when this team gets Kyrie Irving, you know, maybe they could be dangerous next year. And what do they get in the draft? What could Nico do as far as adding another playmaker? So that's got to be really good. You know, that's got to go hold the Grizzlies under 110 points. That's got to go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder and win a game or two, right? Then I'd be like, wow, this defense plan, actually, Jason Kidd just needed time to game plan and get him some practice. And this defense plus whatever they can get going offensively is actually going to be amazing next year. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I think it's going to end up being any hope that you build up in whatever run they go on now, it's setting yourself up for emotional disaster and heartbreak when it's just so flimsy. Like Kyrie Irving at this age off an ACL, to expect him to just hit the ground running and be the best version of himself. Anthony Davis to be healthy all of next season. Like just those two things right there. We knew it right from the jump when the trade was made. Like you're bringing in an often injured guy to pair with an older guy, and we knew that the wear and tear on Kyrie Irving, as soon as Anthony Davis was going to miss outside of the 2.5 quarters, he was going to miss 6 weeks, it's going to be too hard on Kyrie Irving. Yes, he can be awesome, but those tires are going to blow out. We knew that.
So it's a long shot.
They're just building. They're building the flimsiest, oldest Hail Mary 2-year plan that you could fathom. So to put hope in that is setting yourself up for disaster.
Would you guys get the feeling, you know, seeing some of his quotes, he didn't want to go into this offseason with Luka knowing they wanted to move on from him. He felt like then Luka would just leave once Luka knew, you know, then he could really steer it and, I guess, drive down the bargaining. That was the only interesting point in that entire interview where I was like, okay, maybe he was paranoid there, but the way that he logically set it up, that if this gets out, then we could end up getting less than Anthony Davis and one pick and Max Christie. At that point, obviously, you got to say, okay, then we can't try this, right? If this is all we're going to get and we're worried that if we open up this for negotiation, we'll lose it, then we need to bottle it and forget it. But it was right in that week, that critical week, where Luka didn't join him on the road trip, and they took that as a sign that the guy clearly wasn't committed. Okay, Jason Robertson injured last night. It's unreal. You know, the curse of Luka might be impacting other teams. Maybe we need a cleansing. Maybe it's a good time to have the Mavs and Stars going their separate way at the AAC, because you don't want to be anywhere near this contamination. No word on when he's going to be able to return, but when you're talking about a guy who's got to be in one of those walking boots and is obviously in pain, that sounds like 4 to 6 weeks for me. I don't think Jason Robertson or Miro are going to play against Colorado. Does that jive with what you're seeing? What you believe to be the case?
I mean, I don't know how bad it is. He was a knee brace. So I mean, hockey players just built different. You just never know with these guys. I do think Miro will end up playing at some point in the Avs series. I think that they'll end up just saying, "Hey, we need you," and they'll put him out on the ice before the season's over. I just don't know at what point in the series it'll be. But, yeah, I mean, the one good thing is they've got forward depth. So, I mean, they could withstand to lose Robo. They couldn't really with Miro. They got to have Miro in this series at some point. I hope to God he can come back, because I don't think they can win it without him. But it is scary. I mean, Pete DeBoer said afterwards, purpose of resting people down the stretch was to hopefully avoid the injury. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. But you can't sit everybody, and it's just a bummer in a physical sport that's the way it happens. So cross our fingers that it's nothing that is that serious with Robo.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, a high tolerance for ambiguity, I think is what you would say about him right now, as he's made his first public comments in a while, speaking on the Pat McAfee show. Says he's still unclear. Says, "I wasn't stringing anyone along. I was honest from the jump about where I was at mentally and some of the constraints I have in my life right now that warrant my attention. I'm open to anything and attached to nothing. Retirement could still be a possibility, but right now my focus has been my personal life, and that's what I've told the coaches. There's still conversations that are being had. It's all been very honest lines of communication. You know, I guess if a team needs a quarterback and you haven't solved it now and you're like, hey, let's get through the draft and what we're doing in the summer, as long as, you know, it matches your timeline, I guess I wouldn't have any big issue with this. I think Aaron Rodgers is being honest and has apparently accumulated enough in his life where he doesn't need the NFL. And I think he's at a point where he genuinely doesn't know. But as a team, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't think you're good enough to deal with the ambiguity, you know. And I do feel like if we get a decision from you this week, I don't know where your mind's going to be at in a couple of months. Yourself has been trying to tell yourself it's time to retire for a long time, you know, but you're still pretty good at it. And it's an insane amount of money, like $40 or $50 million. Sure, I could play, but if you're not in it, I would hate it if my team was looking at Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah. The only way I would do it is if I'm truly a Super Bowl contender and at some point my quarterback gets hurt. And now it's like, okay, this is really the only option that we have.
Would anybody consider him if he did what Sam Darnold did and play for like $10 million for like a year?
He's saying that he's willing to do that. He said that he's told these teams, like, this isn't about the money. He's down to just play for $10
million. Yeah, if you had the Sam, I mean, do you think more teams would be interested, or are they watching the tape and going, oh, this guy's done. He can't move.
I don't think the team is very good.
I mean, I think most teams have their quarterback situations pretty stabilized.
If he waits till after the draft, even if he waits after the draft, that's what I'm saying. I think more teams have probably have already addressed that situation. I don't think even playing for less money helps him here.
No, at that point, you're probably waiting for an injury. Yeah. I mean, because what is Pittsburgh going to not draft a quarterback next weekend? I don't think so.
I think they are too.
All right, let's step aside because Jared Sandler is going to join you coming up at 3:30. We'll take a snapshot of the Cowboys' top stories, including a signing. Can this guy help? Is it a training camp player? Broadus will tell us that. He does have Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. And we're back with sports here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 104.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
5-3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Jared Sandler's coming up in 5 minutes. Brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Draft 101 tonight. The doors will open 6:45 shortly after our show ends. We're excited about this sports spring with you here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, Solomon Thomas is coming up in about an hour. Okay, where are we with this trade rumor, Ruski, that Steven threw out here on The Fan? Saying, I don't necessarily see us moving up based on the way the board is coming together, but could see a situation where we move down. That's the hottest Cowboys draft chum right now that's out there in the water. That just means Steven wants to trade down. Is this realistic,
yeah.
Brian? What do you think?
Yeah, he's – if the Cowboys – Todd Archer and I were talking about it this morning, actually, and just kind of trying to translate some things and figure it out. And Todd's like, listen, I don't see any massive – you know, go way down the board types of move, but could they move two or three spots? Sure. That's a possibility. I think you ask every general manager in the league right now. Yeah, sure. We'll trade back. And it's funny. I was doing a show with Jeff today and he's, you know, Kavanaugh's captain, trade back.
Yeah.
And I tried to get him to go back to that trade we talked about yesterday with Cleveland. Where you pick up those.
Oh, yeah. The twos and threes out of the first round.
Yeah. You go down to 33 from 12 to 33. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I love trading down. And I offered him that deal, and he said, no, I wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even trade back. And that's a legitimate offer right there. I mean, that's a fair offer for what you're trying to do. And so, you know, but I think that the Cowboys we know, and I sat in that room with them for some drafts, Jerry Jones does not pick up the phone to initiate trades. So it's going to have to be somebody calling and wanting a particular player. But they're not going to call and initiate. They just feel like they'll lose on the trade then if they do that.
And that's what it would take for me to believe it's going to happen. Because you need to be wanting and willing to sacrifice value, don't you? If you're willing to do those things, maybe you could get it.
I absolutely believe that there's a lot of general managers around the league that are looking at trading down. And they're probably curious that they're not going to get value. And would it be better for them just to stand in there and make a pick?
Yeah.
Or, you know, trade down and not get value. And there's a reason why when you stack your board that player 87 is better than player 149. There's a reason why, you know. So if you're willing just to go just to get player 149, then I don't know if a lot of teams are really interested in doing that.
From your experience, though, Broadus, when a trade down does happen, is it usually initiated by the team that wants to trade up? I mean, I feel like the order of operations would usually be the team that wants to move up is making the call.
Yeah.
And not the team that's trading down.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody wants to say. I mean, I've rarely been in a war room where it's like, let's get out of here. Let's just start calling people. Let's just see. You know, you kind of set the table for that the days before the draft.
Sure.
But like you don't pick up the phone and like all of a sudden when you're on the clock decide to bail. Now you might do it two, three picks before. But teams will like, nah, we're fine. We don't want to give up anything for that. No, we're good. So yeah, it's usually the team like calling you and saying, hey, what would you like for this pick? Mm-hmm. And Steven is going to say what Adam Pacifica and Todd Williams and the trade charts say, and teams are going to say, okay, we'll get back to you. And then they really never ever get back to you. Mm.
Okay, a former Bengal is back in the NFL here with the Cowboys.
Jack.
Our guy Jordan Schultz reporting Hakeem Adeniji is signing with the team. He did play with the Bengals in their Super Bowl run, but has not played in a game since 2023 when he logged 17 special team snaps with the Vikings. So probably not a guy that impacts your draft plans much, Brian.
Yeah, this is a guy that when he came out in the 2020 draft out of Kansas, that he was an outstanding athlete. He did have foot quickness. He had speed. His biggest problem is he just doesn't have much power. At the time, he didn't have much power. And that really hurt him when you watched him play. But the pass set, the lateral slide, all that stuff was really, really, really good. But you could watch defenders break this guy down, and it's because of that lack of power at that time. But the athletic ability and all that was really actually really, really good, because he could have picked up stunts, he picked up twists, he passed things off. But you did see him in the games I remember watching him. He gets rocked out of his stance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully he's – along the way, he's developed some pass rush strength. But, man, I'll tell you what, loved his athletic ability. I just think he's got to get in position quickly at the time to slow his guy down. If he didn't do that, he wasn't going to do it just by sitting down on that guy.
Well, you take some time away from the game. Out of the view of everybody, vitamin A, vitamin S. You know, you want more strength. There's ways you can... you know, get more help on that if you're away from the game. As Jared Sandler joins you now for a Rangers preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. We have the pregame coming up in 3 hours. Jared, and a good afternoon. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're doing wonderful, man. What do we need to see from Kamar Rocker tonight? Oh, Sands.
Oh, gosh darn it, Jared.
Jared. Can you hear me, Mad Dog? Jared Sandler brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing here on your home of the 2023 World Series champs, your Texas Rangers. Kamar Rocker, I don't know if this guy should be continuing to start. I guess you don't have other options right now, do you?
Got to get healthy. Lighter's ready.
Lighter's ready.
So, I mean, if tonight's not good, I think then they'll have a conversation about maybe Lighter.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, and he's back with us, buddy. How you doing?
Okay. I'm good. Can you guys hear me all right?
We got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
you
cool.
Were saying.
Yeah, so you're asking about Kamar, and I think it's just, you know, he needs to miss more bats. And it's more complicated, right?
Indeed, sir.
Happen again.
It is pretty complicated. You know, you gotta throw it so they can't hit it while still hitting the strike zone. That's, I imagine, what Jared was about to say.
Throw it hard while commanding the ball.
Yeah.
There you go.
It is tough.
It's a hard game.
It is a hard game.
You know, Tyler Mahle just got to that point in his Tommy John recovery where he could be in the strike zone and still miss bats. And, that you know, that's where Jacob deGrom has lived, and that's what, you know, separates the Aroldis Chapmans from your Hall of Famers. Okay, and maybe Chapman is, for what he did in his prime. Shouldn't misspeak there, because he's had a hell of a career as a reliever. 817 says Mark Cuban needs a lot of blame for selling the team secretly to casino owners, not taking any blame of not making basketball decisions, no matter if he's a minority owner. Yeah, I don't know how you all look at the Mark Cuban piece of this. I thought, you know, the explanation of everything was good. I would never tell somebody what to do with their investment, number one. So just buying and selling, that's on Mark, and I think he did a hell of a job with this. 10X'd his investment, so nice job there. You know, but then the other thing is Mark Cuban was losing money. I think he lost money in 23 of the 25 years.
That's what he says.
And he wanted to, find a owner who could help this team compete more. Because in the last 5-6 years, he was making business decisions relative to, you know, the luxury tax threshold. He just, he didn't want to afford it. He didn't want to allocate losing more money in order to keep this team, you know, in whatever situation that it was. And I think this Vegas money should give them the opportunity. But what they lost in basketball wisdom with Mark Cuban's departure was worth way more than tens of millions of dollars in luxury tax.
Yeah, and I mean, to Mark's credit, he was still trying to, I guess, have his cake and eat it too, where he sells it but then still has some level of say into the basketball side of things. And then I imagine Nico went to the Adelsons and Dumont and was like, hey, no, I got this. We don't need Mark, which is obviously a huge blind spot because he would have been a nice sort of cushion for the just all the PR stuff and just having the understanding of what the fan base wants, what this organization is, the history of it all, Dirk and all the meanings of everything that's important. Mark has a grasp of that, and Nico and the ownership group that's here now, they have no understanding of that. But I do think that Mark was trying to do his best, like you said, get somebody in here who financially can handle what it takes to really compete in this day and age. I think Mark understood that he couldn't do that. And the problem is yes, you wish that he would have sold it to somebody who had some level of understanding of how to do something like this and not a first-time ownership group. But how many people are out there or groups are out there that could really afford to purchase a team like that?
Yeah.
It's not like there's this huge wide net of billionaires that can come correct financially and buy a team. So he was pretty limited from that standpoint. And I do think that he knew that he couldn't afford to keep Luka and a championship team. It was going to be one of those two. Either we pay Luka and then everything around him sucks, or we don't pay Luka. I'm the bad guy and I'm the one that traded Luka. And so he was trying to have an ownership group that could afford to do both. I think he was caught off guard by the fact that they wanted to get rid of him. I don't think he had any clue that they wanted to punt on Luka.
Man, that's very well said. While you're saying that, I'm thinking the only development that could make me disappointed in Mark is if he knew that Nico would eventually trade Luka.
Correct.
Right?
Agreed.
Because now I'm turning over this totally naive ownership group. If they don't keep me as governor, Nico has won this Game of Thrones, and he's going to be totally in charge of, you know, the mind space of this organization.
Yeah, that's the real question.
He might have thrown us to the wolves a little there.
Yeah, how much did Mark know upon selling the team that Nico felt the way that he does about Luka?
But then you would also have to know who the Adelsons were going to choose, and then you would have to know that Dumont would be, you know, willing to go along with Nico, which apparently he wasn't at first. It took a while for Nico to win that point with him and get his approval, I guess, game three of the finals.
Yeah, and I guess just trying to take in all the knowledge that we have about it right now, it was after Cuban had sold, that's when Nico kind of went into the, I'm wanting to move Luka. So I don't think that Mark did. I think I would give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. And then he's also had a handshake agreement to still be a part of this thing. I mean, he kind of sold it, thought I can have my cake and eat it too. Yeah. I'll still be able to have some basketball control with the Mavericks, but also I'm doing what he thinks is probably best by giving them more financial stability. And unfortunately, it now has just blown up and it's gone miserably. I don't think he could have ever envisioned this is how it would end up going.
As Mr. Greenberg found out about 15 years ago, that usually works until the first disagreement. And then it's like, wait, actually, this is my team. So,
that's right.
Thank you for your stewardship over these years. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got some of the things that I want to get into about the draft, as always, and we'll do that.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I think we're going to try to get Sandler back on in the four. I'm getting excited about these Rangers now that they're winning again, Brian.
Yeah, he figured out he could go into like the laundry room.
Oops, sorry, guys.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. He just kept calling from the damn moon.
Yeah. If I just go into the laundry room here, but there's no reception down here in the clubhouse.
He's always had a little shaky cell phone situation, though, as long as I've known him, man.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
There is history. Maybe, I don't know, but when we got him back on, do you notice how crystal clear it was for just a second?
Yes.
And then maybe he slid in between the washers and the dryers.
Or what he was doing.
I did. He was like checking the lint dryers.
I'm going to save all these clips of him messing up these phone calls.
Yeah.
So he can send it over there to T-Mobile, whoever he's messing up with, you know?
Yes.
And Metro PCS.
I think they're sponsors.
Yeah.
Maybe he should go over there and, you know, maybe bump into those people. Maybe go down to the suite level and see if they're at the ballpark and, you know, talk to him about getting
somebody said he has a jitterbug phone. Hilarious.
Whether he joins us for 5 seconds or 15 minutes, it's always high quality Rangers content. Yeah. And it's always brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing, Brian.
There you go.
Here's Krusty's Corner.
Professional.
Which is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you very much, Jerome. Appreciate that. Welcome back, by the way. Good to have you. Hey, I want to ask you a real quick question about your coaching this weekend.
Yep.
Or this week. Did you get intimidated at all being in that type of setting?
Yeah.
Like that you felt like I don't belong on this sideline kind of a deal? Like was your confidence like
imposter
really
imposter syndrome?
Was it like leaking bad that like that guy or gal across the field is like an international coach?
Like a real coach.
And I'm kind of a professional radio dude.
Uh oh.
I forget who it was behind me, but there was just so many English accents. And then the kids start using English accents, too.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is the real deal.
Wanka. Wanka.
But
Rick Moranis versus Al Bundy.
Yeah. You know, so we took a lead 1-0 and we took and we equalized it 2-2 in that first game. Yeah. So, I mean, that helped. And, You know, but yeah, especially against the FC Dallas team. But there's levels to this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a common occurrence where you, well, no, it's not that common where you lose 9-0, but it happens.
It does.
You know, and it's a tremendous learning opportunity for all of us, yeah. You know, for the players and for me.
Yeah. I just wondered if, like, in that setting, did you feel intimidated?
Oh, yeah, of course. It was new. It was, and there were great teams out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you're coaching and you're kind of like going, okay, there's,
yeah.
But your team was in it.
It's, yeah, yes. And I've had to work incredibly hard just to try to be on the same pitch with the great coaches that are around
here
that played in World Cups, you know, you know, that were household names in the 80s and 90s in indoor soccer. You know, that's who I'm trying to compete against. So, yes, it is. It's constantly like that, you know. So this experience wasn't terribly different from what it's usually like trying to compete against people who are so smart about the game.
That's incredible. Well, good for you. And congratulations on navigating that whole thing. All right, well, Chuck, I'm going to ask you a few questions here about the draft.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Let's do it.
Well, Chuck, there's some situations here where I'm going to give you comparable talent.
Okay.
But a better investment after round one.
All right.
A comparable talent, but might be a better investment afterwards, after round one. Okay. For example, if I told you, why draft Travion Henderson in the first round when you could get Jarquez Hunter later?
Yeah, I would say that Henderson is way more explosive than what Hunter is, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I think Hunter is, and this is Hunter's running back from Auburn. I've got a 5 on him. You could probably get him day 3.
Right.
And for his size, he's a smaller dude. But gosh, he is very difficult to tackle. I mean, he is a thumper when it comes to just, he'll move the pile. All of a sudden, it's like he's in a swarm. There's 3-4 bodies around him, and he's going to keep churning, get you 3-4 extra yards. But Travion Henderson, I think, can score from anywhere on the field. You saw it in the Texas game, for those of you that watched the Cotton Bowl against Texas. And granted, it was a blitz call against a screen. They couldn't have dialed it up any better. But I think Travion Henderson is one of those guys that's got way more juice than what Hunter has. But I do think Hunter, he showed at Auburn, he can be an every down back. He just doesn't have that home run hitting ability that Henderson has.
If you look at elusiveness for the players, Hunter was superior to Henderson in this regard. Henderson forced 37 missed tackles on 145 carries last year, while Hunter forced 59 on 186 touches.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's not surprising because he's a physical, violent runner.
They both run the same speed, though, too, by the way. Both 4.44.
I didn't see that on tape. I didn't see Hunter being nearly as explosive as Henderson personally.
Yeah. I understand. I kind of saw the same thing.
But I like Hunter. Like, don't get me wrong. Good player. But I would rather just take Henderson.
Okay. Why would you draft? And this was a guy that was in a bunch of Dallas Cowboys discussions until they signed Osa.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then also with Solomon Thomas as well. Why would you draft Walter Nolan in the first round when you could take Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean,
in the third.
Yeah, I'd rather gain. There's so many tackles that I like in the third. I mean, this thing stretches when it comes to D tackle. I mean, you could throw Peebles in there, CJ West from Indiana, Joshua Farmer from Florida State. How about Norman Lott from Tennessee?
I love Norman Lott.
I like him more than Peebles.
That's a hyphenated name, by the way.
Yeah, Norman Lott. I think TJ Sanders I like a little bit more than Peebles, too, personally. Peebles is shorter. He's 6 foot. But that's a guy that is a true three tech. I would wait. I do think you can get just as good value. Walter Nolan, there are, you know, game wrecking ability there that you can see. He was a guy that was double teamed a lot. He is explosive. He is strong. He's probably got a better combination of strength and speed than what you have with Aeneas Peebles. But I do think the value there at defensive tackle is better.
You kind of feel like that maybe, like, was it Kobe Turner that was drafted by the Rams?
Yeah.
Are we looking at something like that, kind of a similar situation?
I can see that.
And the guy,
Turner maybe in the fifth?
Third round.
Was a third round guy?
Yeah, third round.
Yeah, I think there's going to be end up being a lot of defensive tackles that get taken in the third that are going to be starters, immediate impact players this year.
All right. Why would you draft South Carolina's Nick Amanawori in the first round when you can get Penn State's Kevin Winston in the second?
I think Winston's a better player. I do. I think Kevin Winston Jr. is one of the most slept on players in the draft period. This guy, to me, is a bigger version of Earl Thomas. I think he's got incredible range. The problem is the injuries, and he's really only started 1 year at Penn State.
1 year at Penn State.
But the tape is unbelievable. I mean, he can play single high, up in the box. He can tackle. I think he's a good cover guy. I love Kevin Winston Jr. I would take him over Nick Emmanuel anyway.
So you're totally okay with this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in on that.
I think that when you watch Kevin Winston play, he covers so well.
He does. He's an energizer bunny.
But he covers ground, yeah, too. He's a really good tackler. He plays with range. I didn't see that. I think the thing that's got people loving Nick Emmanuel is the workout.
It's the workout.
It's the workout.
Like physically, he's extremely gifted. But I just don't see on tape that translating.
He's going to get overdrafted, right?
Yeah, I do. I believe so.
Okay.
The people are going to think they're getting like Cam Chancellor with him, and you're not, because he doesn't play that physical.
Are there any other guys that you like that you would say, why would you, if you look at your board, why would you draft this guy instead of, and maybe when you can have this guy?
I mean, I don't get why you would take, personally,
yeah,
Membu or Kelvin Banks over Josh Simmons. I don't understand this. Like, both these guys, I've seen in tons of mocks. You got Josh Simmons falling.
Yeah.
Membu's the sexy, and he's a right side player.
Yeah.
The best left tackle in the draft is Josh Simmons.
I think so too. And I was talking to some folks that the Cowboys, I believe, feel this way about Josh Simmons as well. That like, listen,
that's awesome.
This guy's saying, hey, listen, you've said a lot about Josh Simmons, and there's people in the organization that feel the exact same way about that. So to me, if I had the opportunity, and these receivers are really good, but man, I would take that tackle over.
Oh, him. You've immediately upgraded to left tackle.
Yeah.
Immediately. He's a better player than Guyton.
Yeah.
I think he is. And then the other one is at tight end. I don't know why people are loving on Colston Loveland. I'd much rather have Mason Taylor out of LSU.
Yeah.
And I know you would as well.
I would. I've actually got Mason Taylor above, and that's not an LSU thing. I've watched this kid play for 3 years, and all he's ever done is make huge plays in these games. It's third and 15. He gets 17 yards. They need a 2-point conversion. They can't, and LSU's mm-hmm. got receivers. I mean, we all know LSU's got receivers. They throw the ball to this guy and his ability to make plays. So I'm kind of with you on that, though. I was kind of thinking a little bit deeper
mm-hmm.
when you start to, and you absolutely love Tyler Warren, though, from the tight end aspect.
I do. I love Tyler Warren. I just think he's just a playmaker and just a well-rounded football player.
But does like any of these other guys, like you like would like Gunnar Helm.
I like Gunnar Helm. I got him in the third. Yeah,
okay,
I
mean, so that's what I'm saying. Would you take Gunnar Helm instead of drafting Tyler Warren?
If I had another player there that I liked over Warren, I would. But in this draft, I mean, I've got Tyler Warren currently as my seventh best player.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to have a guy that I like more.
So
I think
if they take him at 12 then?
Yeah, I would be. Absolutely.
You okay there? All right, Dawson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. So do you think Warren becomes your second-best playmaker instantly? Is that what you get at 12? Is he scoring touchdowns day one?
In my opinion, yes. Brian doesn't like him as much as I do.
As I look at Warren, like I say, I've got him as my 18th best player on my board. I think Zach's in the top 10.
Yeah, right just there. Seven.
Yeah. So I like I say, but I would take – I love Mason Taylor, and I have him as my 29th best guy. So – to me, Warren, yes. Warren could come in. I think he could do an awful lot. Zach's right. He is a better blocker when I went back and watched him than what I thought he showed earlier. So he could do some complete things for you.
Right on. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Sans is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Okay, he's going to give you that Rangers gold about 4:10. What's next, Chief?
Let's crank open a rim sesh. Other GMs around the league want Nico to stay forever, plus the Clippers' new high-tech arena. It's proven to be quite the home court advantage that's next year in the nation.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.